Praise the Lord. So, you probably got the hold of the title by now of the message this evening. I'm a believer. Get me out of here. I'm a believer. Get me out of here. You ever been in a situation, maybe in fact you're in a situation right now, or you're facing something right now, and you can't see a way out. It's difficult to see a way out of it. It's difficult to see a way through it. Difficult to see a way beyond it. I don't know about you, but I encounter circumstances and situations like that quite frequently. But tonight, I want to provide you, if that's you, if that's been your experience, tonight I want to provide you, it's okay to be proud of what God gives you, hallelujah. Tonight I want to provide you with a fail-proof exit strategy from what might appear to be an impossible situation or set of circumstances. A fail-proof, that's quite a promise, isn't it? A fail-proof exit strategy. Remember the promise of God's word, Psalm 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Come on, let's say it together. I'm a believer. Get me out of here. I'm a believer. Get me out of here. Let me ask you a question right now. A question I believe that a lot of God's children actually, they seem to struggle to answer this question. Do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you know what God's will is for your life? Well, if you don't, or if you're not sure, or if you're uncertain, well, I'm going to tell you. Or better still, I'm going to let him tell you. Because he actually wrote it down, so that we would have no doubt as to what his will is for our lives. So if you've been questioning what is God's will for my life, I'm going to tell you. Hallelujah. So if you didn't come here and get anything else tonight, you're going to get this. You're going to hear what God's will is for your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the New Living Translation, it brings these verses this way. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I want to catch something here tonight. It says here, in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything, give thanks. And there's a massive difference here. Now, a lot of religion has taught you that you should give thanks for everything. But that's not what it says here. It says, in everything, give thanks. What did I say I would give you tonight? What did I say I'm here to provide you tonight? A fail-proof exit strategy from even the circumstances and situations that you've encountered or that you will encounter that seem impossible. I'm giving you a fail-proof exit strategy. It says here, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything. Give thanks. Be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. You see, you don't say thank you for the bad stuff. Because it wasn't the Lord that gave you the bad stuff. It wasn't the Lord that handed you the bad stuff. You say thank you that he is always there to deliver you from the bad stuff. In every situation, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, give thanks. You need to say, and where did this come from? Who's the author of this situation? Who's behind this situation, that these circumstances that I'm encountering right now, that I'm up against right now? You don't thank the devil for anything. Come on now. You don't say, thank you for this cancer. That would be thanking him for the circumstances. You don't say to the Lord, thank you for this cancer, Lord. Now, some people have said things like that. Some people, I believe, have been religiously duped into thinking that you're supposed to say thank you for everything. No, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, give thanks. You don't say thank you for this cancer. You say thank you that by Jesus' stripes, I was and I am healed. You say thank you that you are the Lord who heals me. You say thank you that you heal all my diseases. Yeah. You don't thank him for every circumstance you think and in every circumstance. Because this is the fail-proof exit strategy. This is the way out. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. Pray without ceasing. And I'm not talking here constipation prayers. You know what I mean by that, don't you? You know, have you ever been in a prayer meeting where everybody's doing constipation prayers? God, try to get God to move. I'm going to help you with something today. God has never moved. It's not God that needs to move. Yeah. It's us. Yeah. We don't need prayers that move God. We need prayers that move us. And the prayers that move us are thank you prayers.
Yeah.
All of our prayers should be thank you prayers, because thanksgiving moves us from where we are, stuck with no way out, to the place of alignment with the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. What moves you there? Thank you prayers move you there. Thanksgiving is the way out of all of the challenging situations, and the way in to the place where provision, and I want you to hear this tonight, the place where provision has already been made. Mm. You see, faith says thank you before it receives. Mm. You were always taught, weren't you? Somebody gave you something, say thank you. That's manners. But you see, faith says thank you before it receives. Because faith believes it receives before it actually holds the thing in its hands. So you start to say thank you even before you receive. That's what faith does. I've never actually seen much of I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. I've never really been a follower or a fan of the TV show. But in the little I have seen, and the little I've heard, because you always hear these things commented on in other news programs and everything else and on the media, and hear other people talking about these things. And in the little that I have seen, it appears to me that the contestants are faced with challenges where they have to face their fears. Like these bush tucker trials. And it seems to me also that the person with the best attitude is generally the one who ultimately wins the contest. Is that fair? Some of you might watch this, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough? Fair appraisal of the whole thing, but in James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4 it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trials or challenges, bush tucker or otherwise, of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy.
Yeah.
For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." You will have everything. Say, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. It moves on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, "Do not quench the Spirit." That can be translated, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." John the Baptist said, "There's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." It says here, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Who knows, grumbling and complaining will kill you." Mm-hmm. You know, grumbling and complaining changes the atmosphere. It's like you can be excited one minute, and then all of a sudden the grumblers and the complainers show up, and it's like it just sucks the excitement out of the atmosphere. Who knows what I'm talking about? Grumbling and complaining, they pour a bucket of water over the fire of the Spirit. And this is something else I've noticed in my very limited experience of I'm a Celebrity, is that the biggest moaners are usually the first to go.
Yeah.
Get their marching orders.
Yeah.
Get their P-45. Come on. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Those of you who have watched it. Say, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. 1 Thessalonians moves on in chapter 5 into verse 20, and it says, "Do not despise prophecies." Another translation says, "Do not scoff at prophecies." Another translation says, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt." We need to give thanks for the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord always provides us with our exit strategy. We need to hear the word that applies to us in our situation and begin to give thanks. That it is ours. It's ours already. In fact, let me just remind us of this principle. I think it's in Mark chapter 11. It's just got me right now, but hallelujah. Let me just give you this from the word. Straight from the word, hallelujah. Where are we now? Jesus answered and said it in verse 22 of Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed. What did we hear tonight prophetically? Do not despise prophecies. Maybe you thought, oh, here we go. That's one of them, another one of them so-called prophecies. Hope that's a quick one so we can go to the next song. Said, you're not been bold enough. You need to become more bold. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, that's bold. And does not doubt in his heart, but bold people don't doubt, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. What do you do when you receive something? You say thank you. So, as soon as you ask, as soon as you pray, you start to give thanks at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that you receive them and you will have them. You don't wait until you have them. You start to say thank you before.
That's right.
Because you believe you receive the minute you pray. Right. Got it? Mm-hmm. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Get me out of here. Do not despise prophecies. Do not scoff at prophecies. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Begin to give thanks for that word, the word of the Lord. Give thanks that it's yours, that you have it, what it promises in your hand right now. I mean, I remember years and years ago, the Lord says, began to direct me to turn my prayers into thank you prayers. You say, oh, what about repentance and all that? Well, as soon as I thank him, often I have to thank him for repentance. For the opportunity to repent. Because I tell you something, I don't always get it right. I probably get it wrong more times than I get it right. And I have to thank him, but I don't want to go. I don't come, oh, I say thank you for the opportunity to come. To repent, to come to you in repentance and faith, believing that you truly have provided for all of my sin, past, present and future. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that I'm no longer a sinner trying to get righteous. Thank you that I come to you tonight as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that I can come to you believing that if I confess my sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that I'm not the sick trying to get healed. Thank you that I'm the healed. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. No temptation, test or trial has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Get that down there and say it.
Yeah.
Double swallow that one. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tried beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tried, he will also provide a way out. Another translation says the way of escape. So that you can endure it. What I say, what I promise you tonight, a fail-proof exit strategy. See, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. It goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and it says, test, verse 21 says, test all things, hold fast what is good.
Yeah.
It says, test all things. It doesn't say, and then hold on to all things. No, it says, hold fast to what is good and reject what is bad. See, if it's not good, it's not God.
Amen.
If it is good, it is God. So when you recognize what is good and what is of God, you hold on with both hands and you get thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, one of the Hebrew words for thanksgiving, which is why I showed that video this evening, one of the Hebrew words for thanksgiving is the Hebrew word yada, which means to raise your hands. When you raise your hands, it's an expression of thanksgiving. An expression of thanksgiving. Who knows God's a giver? If it's good, it's adding to your life. It's God, sorry, adding to your life. If it's good. The devil's not a giver, he's a taker. If it's evil, it's the devil come to subtract from your life. Devil minus D equals evil. God plus O equals good. God gave me that years ago, just an easy way, simple way of remembering. Hallelujah. If it's come to give to you, it's God. If it's come to take away from you, it's the devil. Some people even get conned into giving things up, think they're giving them up for God, and they're just, it's just the devil robbing them.
Yeah.
I remember meeting a young man years ago in Tennessee, and he said, oh, he was so excited, he said, oh man, myself and some friends of ours, you know, we started a prayer meeting, you know, I said, that's really good, that's excellent, it's really good, no folks get it. He said, we've given it a name. I said, what's that? It's called Beggar's Bread. I said, beg your pardon? He said, we're calling it Beggar's Bread because we're just beggars asking God for something that we can give to other beggars. I said, you're a cheeky beggar. I says, you err, not knowing the scriptures. If you're born again, my friend, you're the righteousness of God right now in Christ Jesus. And the word of God tells me that the righteous are never again in the possession of begging bread. You need to change your name. I don't know if they heard me or not, Danny. I wasn't going to let the situation pass without passing comment on it and try to help somebody and steer them. Nothing wrong with them getting together to pray. But I tell you, with a name like that, they were probably praying the wrong kind of prayers as well.
Right.
Come boldly! What, begging? No. Come boldly like a child to their father. With expectancy, expectation. Increase it. Turn up the expectation. With a ready of thank you. Even before they've received, they're already saying thank you. I know that I'm here and I'm going to receive because I know who you are. Say, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. Hallelujah. A few things we need to get out of, folks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Abstinence is a decision. Abstinence doesn't just fall upon you. It's not circumstantial. Abstinence is a choice. It's a decision. When the bottle gets passed around, you can choose to drink from it or you can choose to abstain. You make that choice. Abstain from every form of evil. In other words, do not simply passively accept evil. Well, here comes the bottle. I guess I better take a swig too because everybody else seems to be taking one. I'm just using that as an example, you understand. Don't passively accept evil in your life in any shape or form. Abstain from every form of evil. Instead of passively accepting evil, we need to actively and aggressively expect and go after with full confidence and boldness, and as we've heard tonight, even more boldness, go after the goodness of God. Expect the goodness of God. Expect God to add to us. Come on, somebody. Remember when we used to sing that song, and I know it's from the scripture, and he, you know, he gives and takes away. Now Job said that. But we also know that at that point, Job did not have a complete revelation of God. He was a righteous man. He was the best guy around at that time in his generation. But he still didn't have at the end of it all, he had a more complete revelation of God. He didn't even know there was a devil that was against him. He didn't even have that understanding. But Jesus gave us the complete revelation in John 10:10 when he said, it's the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I love the way he did it. He put a full stop there. The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. Boom. Full stop. I'm a believer. Get me out of here. I have come, he said, that they might have life. And I love the way he put it. He said, I've come that they... Why did he say that? He's talking to people, he's saying, I've come that they, so they don't stop with them.
Yeah.
So you get the understanding, this isn't just for you, this isn't for the chosen few, some select wee group of people. No, no, this is for everybody.
Right.
You make sure this keeps moving, you make sure that this revelation keeps trucking. I've come that they may have life. Yeah. He's saying something else, he's saying there's more than enough for everybody. Mm. Some people get greedy with God's stuff, don't they? Let's keep it in our wee church. Let's keep it in amongst our wee group. It's like the Masons. It's almost like God's doing something that's a secret all of a sudden. Shh, don't tell anybody. Get it out there, publish it from the housetops. Get on top of the house one day, glory to God, get a big enough ladder, get up there, hang on the chimney and let it loose. Give it a try. Glory to God. May get in the Gazette. You guys from Hebrides News might show up and do an article, you know. See, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. It goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, Now, after all that other good stuff. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Set you apart completely. Make you holy completely. And may your whole spirit, soul and body, there's that God's order again, so important that we recognize his order. It all starts in the spirit. God starts from the inside and works his way out. Religion tries to start from the outside, doesn't usually get very far, but it can sometimes clean up the outside a little bit.
Yeah.
Somebody leaves the door open. May your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what I call a result. See, thank you prayers. Thank you prayers are the way out of every. Every negative situation. Out of every negative circumstance. There's no other way out. This is the way out. This is the will of God. That you don't stay in the stuff that God didn't bring you into. That you come out of it. And he gets a testimony out of that. He's glorified. Not when his children are rolling around in the mud, going, praying constipation prayers. No, he's glorified when his people stand up and begin to proclaim and declare his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, prayers. They're the way out of every negative situation, circumstance, and they're not just the way out, they're the way in. To the good and the acceptable, as I've said already, and the perfect will of God, and the fullness of his blessing and provision. Do you believe in that? Say, I'm a believer. Do you believe that he has a fullness of blessing and provision for you, for me, for everybody? Because in case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of people that don't believe it. There's a lot of believers that don't believe that. There's a lot of believers who are very limited in their believing. And they need to hear. There's more. They need someone to tell them there's more. They need someone to testify to them. Look, what you're stuck in right now, you don't need to stay stuck in. I'm not saying everybody will listen to you. I'm not saying everybody will give you their ear and give you their attention. I'm not saying everybody will act on what you say, but at least give them the opportunity. Be bold. That's all we can do. We're not here to manipulate people. We're not here to force people, to coerce people. We can't do that. We have no remit to do that. But we are here to give them an opportunity. To present them with an opportunity. See, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. Listen to what it says here in Luke chapter 9. Just want to look at a couple of examples in the Gospels. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 16. Let's see how Jesus operate in this. Because I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Anybody else want to be a disciple of Jesus? Anybody want to be a follower of Jesus? Anybody want to be involved in what he's doing? Because he's still doing what he was always doing. I want to follow his example. He said as an example, he said, just follow me, I'll show you, I'll teach you, I'll show you how to make it easy. He didn't say, I'm going to show you how hard it is. He said, I'm going to show you how to make it easy. All things being relative, you understand. But anyway, Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 16, and the apostles, when they had returned and told him all they had done, And then Jesus took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But Jesus said to them, "I don't think that's such a good idea. You give them something to eat." And they said, "But we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And he did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed," which means he gave thanks. Another translation says he gave thanks, "and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude." And all of a sudden, 5 loaves and 2 fish just keep multiplying. What opened that up? What set that off? What ignited that multiplication?
Thanks.
One simple thing. Mm-hmm. Giving thanks. Mm-hmm. Giving thanks. Giving thanks for the more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop when everybody had. No, there was leftovers.
Yeah.
There was leftovers. Mm-hmm. I've seen this principle working many times. I'm not talking about this. See, scale isn't important. When we used to, back in the day, when we would have a lot of people coming back to our house every Sunday for dinner, there was many times that we would have more people coming than Katrina would have reckoned there was food for. Is that many times? And I can imagine her driving across the Barbers Moor giving thanks. And I'll guarantee you, not one time did we ever have too little food. There was always, 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 always more than enough. Is that correct, sister? No panic. Give thanks. Just give thanks. Just give thanks. John chapter 11, verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, are you listening? "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said those things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus!" He was bold. He didn't say cry because it didn't work. He didn't say, "Well, Lazarus, any chance of coming out?" I'll tell you, there was a believer in there. He said, "I'm a believer, get me out of here." He cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Giving thanks brought a dead man back to life.
Yeah.
Giving thanks brought a dead man out of the grave. Say, "I'm a believer. Get me out of here." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you," Paul speaking, "that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new, in the same manner, what did he do? He gave thanks. He also took the cup after supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, something happens. I'm not talking about transubstantiation. I'm not talking about the bread becoming the actual body of Jesus or the whatever juice is in the cup or whatever becoming the actual blood of Jesus. But something supernatural, transformational happens.
Yeah.
When you give thanks for his broken body and for his shed blood. Something happens real time. Something happens that breaks the situations that you're facing, that breaks the circumstances that you're up against, the stuff that you think is impossible, that there is no way out of. You can do this anytime you want, as many times a day as you want. When you're up against something, I'll tell you, I'll guarantee you start doing this, something's going to change. Thank you, thank you, thank you that your body was broken, that your blood was shed. It's blood of the new covenant. It includes everything that I will ever need in an abundance. We need to remember to give thanks. Give thanks for what? For everything that Jesus provided at the cross on our behalf. Isaiah prophesied it hundreds of years before, previously. Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Thank you. Thank you that you were wounded. I can stop whipping myself.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. That's good news for somebody. You can carry on whipping yourself, or you can say, thank you that you were wounded for my transgressions. You can keep knocking yourself about, beating yourself up, or you can say, thank you that you were bruised for my iniquities. That's even worse than a transgression. That's just downright lawlessness. That's even knowing what was right and doing wrong. Well, we would like to pretend we never do that. Well, we'd love to pretend we never do that. Oh, well, I know I sinned, but I wasn't really aware of it. It just happened. No, there's times when we know that we're doing wrong, and we just do it anyway. That's lawlessness. That's iniquity. Oh, sometimes we just need to get before Him and say, thank you. Thank you. Well, you can keep beating yourself up, man. Come on. There's freedom here. So I give you a fail-proof exit strategy. Didn't I promise you that? He promised you. I'm just passing it on. I'm just proclaiming the good news that He provided. Thank you that you were bruised for my iniquities, my lawlessness, my willful rebellion against you. You took the bruising. So we don't get up and I just run off and do it again. No, it's a learning process. We're learners. I don't know about you, but I mean, I was pretty good at the old kangaroo pedal when I was learning to drive. I was 10, I could reach the pedals. I was saying, Daddy, we've got in Lewis and Holiday on the Babel Road by the signal car. I said, Daddy, can I have a shot of the car? And eventually, well, okay then. And bubble. the first couple of times. Yeah, I had kangaroo pedals. Cars are so nicely tuned now that it's hard to get kangaroo. Especially with diesels. Diesels don't do kangaroos so well, but. Bumpity 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 bumpity. You know what I mean? The car's like, you're a rattling man. We're learners. Sometimes we haven't learned that even when we know something is wrong, we still carry on and do it. But one day we need to get to that point as learners where we can set a test and pass it. Oh yeah. How many times?
Seven
times. Listen, I never gave up. Shake on him. I tell you, that is awesome. I'm way more impressed than that than Katrina passing the first time. I seriously am. Will the righteous fall or fail seven times, they'll get up behind that wheel and keep on going. Hallelujah. Come on now. What a blessing it's been ever since, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Been able to drive. Hallelujah. See, we're learners, and one day we're working towards this test. We're going, one day we're going to go, yes, I passed the test! Doesn't matter how many times you failed it, you passed the test. I sat it 3 times. I was too stubborn to get lessons. I don't need lessons, I've been driving since I was 10. Bumpity bumpity bump. I sat my bus test and I thought I better take a couple of lessons. 2 lessons and I passed it the first time. Way harder than the other one, you see. I didn't want anybody to know I was a learner. I didn't want to have to put L plates up. I didn't want anybody to know I was a learner. How many folks in church don't want anyone to know they're a learner? Amen? Come on then. You know what marks my page in my Bible, what I'm going through every day? You know what marks my page? That's what marks my page. On the back it says, an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you tired, worn out, burned out in religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn, 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 learn. I put that in red. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on it. It'll fit in on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn, learn, learn to live freely and lightly. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. Why do we put up for 1 second with the torment? You want to get rid of your torment? Oh, thank you, Jesus. The chastisement for my peace was upon you. You took my torment. Exit strategy, fail proof. Glad you came tonight. I'm glad of you. And as if that wasn't enough. As if it wasn't enough that he's dealt with all of our emotional, all of our spiritual, all of our stuff. That, you know, that struggle with, you know. He said, and by his stripes, we are healed. Is that how, does it get any more straightforward and simple than that? Thank you. Oh, there's a voice. I got you this time. You're going to this time. I'll kill you this time. Who comes? Who's going to talk to me like that? Who's going to talk to me like that? Jesus said the thief talks to you like that. Only the thief. But he put a full stop. Because he says, by his stripes, we are healed. Shut up. Get out of here, you lying devil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, I am healed. I was healed. I am healed. I will be healed. Hallelujah. See, you know what happens? We know what the result of forgetting to give thanks is. Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. It says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. The result of this is weakness and sickness and premature death in the body of Christ. How sad is that? Oh, but then we roll religion in to try and sanctify that. Come on, somebody. We create theologies and doctrines that sanctify that mess. Only the good die young. Come on now. God needed another angel in heaven. Well, that theology is skew-whiff for a start. Not one man ever became an angel. Not one angel ever became a man. Totally different order of creation. When angels fell, God did not send any help for them. It tells me in Hebrews, but he sent aid to the fallen sons. I mean, come on, somebody. The devils believe and tremble. Because they know there's nothing for them. There's no hope for them. Oh, they believe, all right. Oh, they're believers. They're the believer, get me out of here. But there's no way out. That's different for us. I said it's different for us. He sent aid to us. We can say, I'm a believer, get me out of here. We can expect to come out. So we can expect, not some of the time, not hit and miss kind of stuff, not some he does, some he doesn't kind of business, none of that mess. No, we can expect.
Yeah.
with full expectation and refuse to put up with anything less. Wake up call. For this reason, what reason? A lack of acknowledgement, a lack of thanksgiving for the reality that he was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. That he provided a new covenant with his blood. A once and for all acceptable unto God sacrifice on behalf of all fallen sons of men. Kobu Shababa Sakabasaka to provide him with forgiveness and righteousness and healing and deliverance. Come on, somebody, and provision for everything. In every situation and circumstance. Say, I'm a believer. Give me a Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord. That's basically just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise be to your name, O God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Thank his holy name. Thank you, Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy. It just keeps getting better and better. Who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless. Praise, give thanks. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving with your hands up. And into his courts with praise. You know, I surrender all. You know what the Donnie Stewart translation for that is? Bring it on, Lord. Paraphrase. Bring it on, Lord. I surrender all, bring it on. I surrender all my objections.
Yeah.
I surrender all my religious tosh. I surrender all my confusion, all my misunderstanding, all my doubt and unbelief. I surrender it all. Bring it on, Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, with your hands up, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. It's not a lot to ask. Is it really? Do you think so? Be thankful to him and bless his name. And then it tells us why. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. His Lord is good. His love endures forever. See that mercy is the Hebrew word hesed. It's like the old covenant word for unconditional love. His hesed is everlasting, his love endures forever, and his truth endures, his goodness, his faithfulness endures to all generations. I want to give you a fail-proof exit strategy. Well, let me encourage you, if you're ever struggling, and I'm not saying it's you, I'm talking to myself, I've been here, I know what I'm talking about, I'm not here to exclude myself from any of this. Any of us, if we're ever struggling to praise the Lord, you know, especially the hardest time to praise the Lord is when you've duffed it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Come on now, help me. That's like, you think there's, you just get, oh, I can't do it, I messed up, I've done it wrong again. I failed the test again, what am I going to do now? Am I going to carry on being a learner? What am I going to, I can't do it. I think you're only allowed 4 tests and you're out. No. Ever struggling to praise the Lord, just start by just saying thank you. Just call to remembrance, call to your memory. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is there to help you with this. He said he will remind you. He's your helper. He's not there to condemn you. He's there to lift you up to a new place of remembrance. He's there to point you to the cross. He's there to show you the one who was slain on your behalf. Who took it all, who did it all. Who paid the full price for everything. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Thank you. Maybe you can, maybe you want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let it build. Let it build. Thank you. Just two words. Thank you. 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 I'll tell you, you'll be praising the Lord before you can say hallelujah. I said it's a fail-proof exit strategy. It may not sound very religious, but it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed by the Word of God. This is the will of God. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself beginning to live out in real time, to be a real time expression of these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, all of a sudden. Rejoicing will kick in. You'll be praying without ceasing. It'll just be this continuous. You'll be down the road, go back, shabba, back, shabba. And everything give thanks, and you'll be like, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. The fire of the Spirit won't be being put out, it'll be stoked. The fire will get stoked. Have you noticed that some of your biggest successes came right on the back of your worst failures? Mm-hmm. Anybody else notice that? Mm-hmm. That's not an advertisement for failure. But it is an advertisement for the mercy and the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hold fast what is good and kick everything else into touch. Yep. Cast off, it says. Cast off. Violently throw off the sin that so easily besets you. Why does it say that? Because it's true.
Yeah.
God doesn't try and blur things out. He doesn't try and make things sound, but he says the sin. He says, I've noticed that sin so easily besets you. Come on now. I've noticed how easy it is for sin to get on you. For it is for sin to pull you away and pull you and lead you down the wrong road. But you need to learn you can cast it off.
Yes,
amen. The Greek there means to violently throw it off. Get off! I'm a believer. Get me out of here. You know what it is? Because when it says that these, sometimes the hands that are supposed to be up, they're starting to droop a little bit. They're getting a bit weak, you know. The feeble knees, you know, they pray without ceasing. Well, you know. The hands are hanging down. Well, get them up! It's a fail-proof strategy. Well, you know, do you know, if the fire of the Spirit's getting stoked, you know what's going to happen next? You're going to start getting revelation. Mm-hmm. You don't need some, always need someone else to prophesy, you know. Mm-hmm. Prophecies are the Spirit speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking. Sometimes it's just you and him, and he's speaking, he's prophesying.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you start getting revelation. You're like, how can I be getting revelation? I'm 5 minutes out of disaster. I'm 5 minutes out of something I thought I could never get beyond. What's this? Well, if you don't know what it is by now. His love endures forever. Because he is good and his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues to all. It's even just come down to you. It's come down to me. Oh, I heard other people talk about this, but yes. Oh no, it's not just for them, it's for you. Yes. The they, you're part of the they. Yes. You thought it was just them. That's why it's called good news. Yes. That's why it's never anything else but good news. It's always good news. Yes. People say to me, what's new today? I say, it's always good news here. And they go, I don't know, but I'm telling you anyway, it's always good news here. People say, what's fresh today? I say, I've only got good news. And they look at it, what do you mean? Sometimes you get a chance to tell them, other times you don't. He starts to prophesy. And you start to test all things, you think. You begin to realize that, you know, maybe I was under the influence of something else. Maybe I've been listening to the wrong voice. You begin to be able to discern the voices, because you know there's lots of voices. Oh, there are many voices vying for your attention. You learn to be able to sharpen up a little bit, and your discernment starts to kick in, and that discerning of spirits that's a gift of the Holy Spirit begins to function and operate in your life, and you begin to realize that you make a difference between that which is good and that which is evil, that which is holy and that which is profane, and you're able to separate the two and hold fast to what is good. And you start moving forward in your life. You start to mature. And the struggles, the things you used to struggle with, become something in the rearview mirror that's so far back you can't even hardly see it anymore. Some of the things, you know, there's things in my life I thought I could never get past, I could never get beyond, I thought I would never be able to live without these things in my life, and they're not even there anymore. Well, see, that's the way it is with everything, but I tell you have to apply that same understanding to anything you're struggling with right now. Abstain from, see, we're starting to move. Abstain from every form of evil. The more you hold fast to what is good, the more evil has no place in your life. It starts to lose its ground in your life. You become sanctified. You begin to experience the reality of who you already are. Your experience begins to match with your possession, and you begin to realize, I'm the sanctified, set apart by God. For God, spirit, soul, and body. I don't listen to my body. I don't take instructions. Your body has a voice.
Yeah.
Your body's easily influenced. Well, usually the soul is like in the heart of it all. Usually your body will do what it's told by your soul. But your soul likes to be in charge, because your soul was in charge. Before you were born again, your soul was in charge. It doesn't like giving up its authority. It doesn't like giving up the power that it had. It wants to control your life. And it's got a voice, a very strong voice. Your body will follow your soul unless you allow your spirit to come in and silence the voice of your soul and say, you're not in charge anymore. I'm in charge now. There's someone else in charge now. And you start to shut down all the other voices. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says in the message. For 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, these verses we read from verse 16. Be cheerful, no matter what. There's never a reason strong enough for not praising the Lord whenever the going's getting tough. You gotta keep praising the Lord, praise Him. You know that you should, cause everything's working together for good. Praise Him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. May God Himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ, the one who called you. I like this. The one who called you is completely dependable. If He said it, He'll do it. Dirty great big exclamation mark there at the end. Let's stand up together. I want to encourage you. What I promised you at the beginning, I said I want to give you a fail-proof exit strategy. Have you got a hold of it tonight? Whatever you're facing, whatever you're facing, whatever you're facing, whenever you're facing it, there is a fail-proof exit strategy. Give thanks. Say, I'm a believer. Get me out of here. Peter says, I'm so glad to hear that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.